reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. So the Jews said to him, Now we are sure you are possessed. Abraham died, the prophets died. Yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham who died? Or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today the Church's liturgy finishes the second phase of Advent from the third Sunday of, Lent. From the third Sunday of Lent through today, we focus on those preparing for baptism and the renewal of our own baptismal promises. The most important part of this sacrament is our response in faith to God's grace. So it finishes with an exclamation point about faith. All of Lent, of course, is geared toward this increase in faith. From those first words, repent and believe in the gospel we heard on Ash Wednesday, through the words that we're going to be hearing until and during the Triduum, they're all meant to lead us ultimately to be able to say that we believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. Blessed are you, for you have seen me. Jesus will say to doubting Thomas, but blessed are those who have not seen but believed. So it's a whole pilgrimage of faith. Today, as we finish this section, we focus on the faith of Abraham. The first reading, we summarize Abraham's faith. Abraham, as we know, is an old man, an old dog who ordinarily wouldn't have been able to be taught new tricks, was asked to leave everything behind and follow the Lord to wherever the Lord was leading at the age of 75. And yet he did it. He packed up everything and left Ur, waiting for the Lord to indicate to exactly where he was going to lead him. He looked up into the broad daylight to count the stars, knowing that that would be his descendant, even though he had never had a child, that the Lord would make him not just fertile and capable of having a kid, but exceedingly fertile, as we heard today, and that his children would number like the stars in the heavens or the sands on the seashore. And he believed. He continued to believe, even though it would take 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled for a very old man. He believed even when God seemed to be asking him to kill that son of the promise who eventually came Isaac, believing, as the letter of the Hebrews tells us, that even should the child die, God would raise him from the dead, which is an extraordinary act of faith considering it was happening 1800 years before Jesus' resurrection. Yet in all of this, Abraham was believing. And that's precisely what Jesus' interlocutors in the gospel were not willing to do. They had heard Jesus' words. They, on the outside, it seemed to indicate yesterday at the beginning of the reading that they had some faith in the Lord, or at least they believed a little bit of what he was saying, or his power, or something about him, because St. John indicated that Jesus said those words to those who believed in him. But their faith wasn't willing to grow. And simultaneous with a little bit of good soil were a lot of thorns that were choking the growth of the seed. Today we see the culmination of that dialogue, that rather than responding to everything Jesus was saying with faith, they actually were doing so with suspicion. Jesus in this portion today says an oath. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. And they basically started by saying, we have been to many funerals. We know of many who have died. But beyond that, we know that Abraham and the prophets also died. You are a lunatic. But again, they just like that conversation with Nicodemus about climbing back into a mother's womb. So this was something that needed to be worked with to understand exactly what Jesus meant. That for someone who would live and believe in him, he would never die. It would be a passage from life to life through death. But because they were suspicious, they were trying to understand him in a literalistic way. That was an external sign of precisely the doubt was winning. And they respond, now we are sure you are possessed. Which I've always taken as an indication that before they were 99% sure that he was possessed, now they were 100% sure. Abraham died as did the prophets, yet you say, who never keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than Abraham? Are you greater than the prophets? Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus was essentially saying that he was greater. They were picking that up, but they had already a priori refused that anybody could be greater. Now the only one who would be greater than Abraham and the prophets and Moses and everybody else would be God. And they were just not willing to engage that conversation, to make that journey of faith. No matter how many deeds Jesus himself did, even if he would rise from the dead. So Jesus immediately pivots, and it's important if we seek to put on the mind of Christ, enter into his logic. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus was going to say immediately that he wasn't going to glory himself, but the Father was going to give a testimony to who he was. Father already had, this is my Son, my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son, listen to him. During the Last Supper he would say, I have glorified your name, and I will glorify it again. But Jesus says here, if I glorify myself, my glory is worthless. It is the Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. Jesus is saying that the Father is going to give the ultimate witness to the ground of our faith. I've talked many times before about what the act of faith is. The act of faith is not principally believing content. The act of faith is a trust in a person on the basis of which we trust in what that person says and has done. And ultimately, the Catholic act of faith is a belief in God, whom you believe out of love sent his Son into the world to take on our flesh, and that Son founded a church, and together with the Father sent the Holy Spirit to lead that church into all truth, and that church teaches X, whatever the X will be. Abortion's wrong, can't use contraception, can't nuke innocent populations. Mary was immaculately conceived. Whatever it is, the act of Catholic faith begins with this trust in God. So Jesus was taking him back there. My Father will glorify me, but you don't really believe in the Father because you're not sons of the Father, you're sons of the evil one. You do not know him, yet I do. I keep his word. Then he finishes with bringing it back to Abraham, their father in faith, in the hope that Abraham could be a type for the faith that they themselves would have. Jesus was calling to conversion even now. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. What does that mean? It could mean several things. It probably means all of them at the same time. That Abraham, in a sense, saw God's fidelity in his son, that the source through whom Abraham would be continuously blessed would be in his offspring, who is the one doing the blessing. Second, he saw Jesus in the resurrection of his and Sarah's dead reproductive systems. Third, saw Jesus imaged in what the Father had had him do with Isaac, that God would provide the lamb, and the lamb was provided, who carried the wood for the sacrifice up the same Mount Moriah. Whatever Abraham saw this day, anticipated by what he himself experienced, and he rejoiced. But again, they were interpreting him literalistically because they just didn't want to say, okay, I believe that you're telling me the truth. How is this true? Doesn't make sense at first. Let me wrestle with it. Same way that Jesus would expose people's faith or lack thereof with parables, that they would have to struggle to learn how to know. No, they didn't want to believe, and so they're taking it literalistically and trying to make Jesus seem as if he's stupid. You're not yet 50 years old. 50 was, I guess today, 75. 50 for a Jew was to be really old, because lifespan wasn't that great. And it was basically saying to Jesus, you're a young man. How could you have seen Abraham who lived 1800 years ago? And Jesus then upped the ante at the end of this whole period of trying to lead them to greater faith by saying, amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, before he even existed, not I was, but I am. A clear sign that he was saying that he was God. And the Jews responded accordingly, to pick up stones to throw at him for blasphemy. Before Abraham came to be, I am. Jesus was showing the reason why he was greater than Abraham or Moses or any of the prophets. Because he was God in the flesh, the same expression that the Lord used to speak to Moses in the burning bush, Jesus was using in the temple area today. So what does this mean for us? The Lord seeks not just that we repeat what we did last Lent, and the Lent before, and the Lent before that, all the way back to the time when we were taking our faith seriously. The Lord is looking for a journey of faith from us. A deeper trust that in the midst of whatever we're going through, we recognize the great I Am is with us. If there's any aspect of faith that we're struggling to deal with, why he would permit X or Y or Z, why he would teach this in that way, why he would permit this in his church, we need to recognize that the same great I Am is with us. If we're discouraged about our own failings, wondering if it's ever going to get better, where we think that we should have been canonizable by this point, but we well recognize that we're far from that goal, Jesus wants us to recognize that he, the great I Am, is still here, still calling, still helping. And even through our failings, we can grow in greater faith. Because with humility, we'll grow in greater dependence on him who always responds to our filial prayers and faith. This second phase of our Lenten journey has helped us with the believe part, whereas the first part of Lent was all about the repent part. And tomorrow, repentant and faithful, we will enter the third phase, which we focus precisely on the sins that lead to Jesus' death, of which we too need to repent, and then with faith approach all that he accomplished through his death on Calvary. the greatest way that we enter into this whole mystery each day is through the Mass, in which we, with faith, leave wherever we are and approach the Lord. We ourselves recognized how abundantly blessed we are, that if, as St. Peter said, we have left all things to follow the Lord, that he would give us 100-fold in this life, that if Abraham were exceedingly fertile, we would be so much more spiritually fertile. We come here about to receive that Lamb of God who was slain for us to take away our sins and make it possible for us to be with Abraham and to be with the Lord who is eternally present forever. Today as we come forward, let us ask him to punctuate this phase of Lent by granting us an increase in faith. Praise be Jesus Christ.